Hello everyone, and welcome to the So Mindful podcast, where we dig into the tips and topics that will help you have great fun making clothes that make you feel fabulous. I'm your host, Jackie Blakemore of So Much More Fun, and I can't wait to share this week's illuminating episode with you. So let's roll the tape. Hello, my lovely, and welcome to this week's episode of the So Mindful podcast. I'm going to keep this episode relatively short this week, as it comes with a bit of homework, so let's get into it. This week I want to talk to you about the power of practice, and more specifically the difference between learning and applying. But if you're a faffer, then these tips will also help you. Have you ever seen the film The Matrix? Well, in summary, the premise is that we are living in a computer-simulated reality controlled by a computer software program called The Matrix. The main character Neo, played by the very easy on the eye Keanu Reeves, is selected by the Rebellion to be woken from his simulated reality. In an iconic scene, he chooses the red pill to learn the real truth and is freed from being controlled by The Matrix. I realise in trying to summarise it in a couple of sentences, I may not have done it justice, so I'll put a link in the show notes with a better description of the plot. But if you haven't seen it, then definitely watch it. Even though it's old, it really does stand up well. But don't bother with the sequels. Oh, sorry, I digress. Anyway, there is a point to all this, I promise. So in the movie, the Rebellion have worked out how to tap into the Matrix when they want to learn new skills. So once they've freed him, the Rebellion plug Neo back into the Matrix using a weird cable thing in the back of his head, and he starts to learn loads of new things. So there's a montage where you see his eyes flickering to show that he's learning, and then all of a sudden it stops, he opens his eyes and says, "I know Kung Fu." Okay, stay with me. So Morpheus, who is the leader of the Rebellion, says, "Show me."
"I know Kung Fu.
Show me."
Now, the reason for telling you this is because when I first saw this film, I thought, OMG, how brilliant would it be if you could just plug yourself into a computer and just learn a new skill? Just download it straight into your head. Great, right? Apart from the probe in the back of the head bit. I'm not quite sure about that. But anyway. So here's the bit that I missed, and I only realised recently. It's what happens after Morpheus says, "Show me." They start to fight, and Neo looks quite convincing at first, but then Morpheus whoops his ass. He gives Neo some pointers and then says, "Try again." So they fight again, and although he's better, Morpheus still beats him. It takes a few goes, but not too many because they need to get on with the film. But eventually, Neo starts to get it. If you watch the film, you'll see other instances where the same thing happens. I don't want to spoil it for you in case you're going to watch it now that I've inspired you so much. But if you do watch it or re-watch it, if you've seen it before, then look out for those examples. Okay, so why am I waffling on about The Matrix? Well, the reason for sharing this is because I just want to point out that even if somebody could download all you need to know about dressmaking into your head, maybe by plugging you into a supercomputer, you still won't really know if you can do it or if you truly get it until you actually try it for yourself. So if, like me, you might have scrolled through pages and pages of patterns and thought, "Yes, I'm going to make that." You might have watched hundreds of hours of videos of other people showing you how to do stuff and thought, "Yeah, I think I get it. I think I can do that." You might even have tried a few of these patterns or some of these techniques in the videos. And if you got to this point, then a huge high five to you for doing that. Many people don't get to that step. They don't give it a go. One day, someday, never. So is that really learning? Do you know how to do all those things you've watched or those pattern instructions you've read? And if you didn't take action to follow through on them, why was that? Well, I started to notice that I was in a cycle. I was watching loads of videos and I thought I was learning loads of techniques. Then one day I was preparing for a Facebook Live demo to share something I'd learned. You can't see me, but I'm doing air quotes when I say learned. And as I did my prep, I ran through what I wanted to share. And I realised I didn't actually know how to do some of the aspects of it. I had understood it in theory, but this was the first time I was actually doing it, actually putting it into practice. Thank goodness I'd planned my prep time, because now I actually had to do it a few times to make sure I really got it. That was a reminder for me about the importance of applying what I thought I was learning. There's a great metaphor that James Wedmore of the Mind Your Business podcast uses, which is, you can read all the books you like about swimming, know them from cover to cover, but you won't find out if you can swim until you get in the water. So I wasn't really taking much action. And I spotted I was using excuses like not having enough time or not wanting to waste the money or procrastinating indefinitely. The other trigger for me to find out more was when I was going through my fabric stash and realised there were fabrics in there I'd bought some time ago with the best of intentions to turn into lovely garments. But because I hadn't taken the action and actually made them, they were still sitting in my stash. And actually, many of them I no longer really wanted to make because either my tastes have changed or they don't really fit with the rest of my wardrobe. So that got me thinking about why I wasn't taking action and putting the ideas and learning into practice when it was clearly something I wanted to try. So I started to pay attention to what objections came up in my inner talk, that little voice in your head, when I thought about doing these activities or applying what I was learning, and I started to drill a bit deeper. And the answers I got back weren't great. It turned out I was actually afraid of trying it and not being able to do it, or it going wrong, or not being any good at it. And my subconscious reasoning was that all the time that I kept putting off trying it meant there was still an equal possibility that I could be great at it as there was that I would suck at it. That may sound appealing, but the truth of it is there's a whole lot of energy and distraction that goes into that repeated circular discussion while you aren't actually finding out one way or the other. So let me give you another example. Have you ever had a situation where you wanted to buy something that was maybe a bit out of your price range or more than you planned to spend? So maybe you decide to sleep on it. For me, it was a new sewing machine. So you spend a lot of time in the should I, shouldn't I questions, trying to find evidence for or against, support one case or the other, and it totally distracts you from everything else. It sits there like a little woodpecker just tapping away in your head. Then you finally make a decision. Maybe you decide to buy it. So now you have a plan of action and you make the purchase. Job done. Or maybe you decide you don't really need it. Job done. Either way, the decision's made and action is taken. How does it feel? What difference does that make? Well, for me, it was a huge weight that was lifted and my head felt much clearer because I didn't have to hold on to those thoughts. It was all sorted. It's the same when you procrastinate about practicing your new skills. You use up more energy coming up with reasons not to do it or feeling guilty about not doing it than just giving it a go. So let's say you did give it a go and you may have sucked at it. It may not have turned out how you imagined and the temptation is to stop there and just move on to the next thing. And I have definitely done that. Your reasoning is that you're clearly not good enough at it, so there's no point in wasting any more time on it. But what if Neo had done that? What if he'd given up on Kung Fu after that first beating? Where would that have left the human race? And more to the point, those scriptwriters of that movie. It would have been a very short movie. It's normal when you try something new that it's going to take a few goes, maybe lots of goes, and feeling uncomfortable before you nail it. And that's okay. In fact, even Neo, and here's a little spoiler alert, he actually ends up being the one that saves the human race. Even Neo has to practice. I recently saw a Facebook post with a lady describing herself as a faffer and asking others if they were the same. The symptoms were lots of worrying about making adjustments and never finishing projects. And one of the commenters said that they too were almost scared of finishing their projects. This is such a shame. And the lovely Clara Nati talked about this in our discussion in episode 37, when we were talking about connecting with your creativity. So here's her take on it.
Yeah, a lot of people get stuck trying to perfect one piece. I want to make it perfect. I want to fix this. I want to let it go. Let it go. That's the end of that piece. Just move on to the next one and use the things that you learned. Like you said, the things that you learned from making that piece, use that to improve the next piece and just keep improving. Don't see your work as so precious that you have to hold on to it, because the growth comes from the numbers as well, from doing a lot of it. So if you're going to hold on to one thing all year, working on one dress all year, then you don't get the growth that comes from the numbers of doing 10 dresses a year. So Just let that dress go and make the next dress.
Do you have any tips on just how to get started, start that flow or start that process?
Starting is the biggest hurdle. I liken it to having a ball sitting on the floor and trying to move that ball. It's the initial move that is the biggest hurdle. When you move it, it will keep rolling. But just moving it, getting that inertia going, is the biggest hurdle. Sometimes the thing that stops us from taking that step is our mindset. We think that it's something to do with you either born with the skills or you're born talented or not. And when you think that way and you encounter a roadblock, you go back to that mindset and think, I'm not good. I don't know how to do this thing. It's because of my skills. So we have two mindsets. The talent mindset makes you think that you should be able to create effortlessly, right? Because you see other people do it. They must be born talented doing it effortlessly. I can't imagine that she's struggling over this piece. That's the talent mindset. And the skill mindset, or thinking that you can learn and become good at it, is the effort and time mindset, where you realize that you need to put in effort and you need to put in time to get to that skill level that you want. And so people say, are you born talented or do you learn to become creative? There's always this debate about whether people are born with talent or whether people learn to become creative. I think that it's a little bit of both. I think that we all have a seed of talent in us, and we just have to learn to use that talent to grow that seed and water it and till it and turn the soil and expose it to sunlight and let it grow. But if you don't, then it will not grow and flourish. So if you have that mindset that I have it in me, so there you remove the self-doubt that we all get. So when you're in the process of doing something and you get stuck, you start getting all these doubts. Maybe I'm not good. Maybe this, maybe. But when you have that mindset, it removes that self-doubt. Whenever it comes up, you say, I can do this. I just need time.
Clara explains that so well. So imagine that you're at a restaurant and you've ordered a 3-course meal. You may have done this. You get your starter and it's really good and you really take your time over it. And you can kind of see the waiter in the corner of your eye hovering, because he knows that the next course is ready and he wants to bring that to you, and he knows it's even better than the one you're eating. But he can't bring it to you until you're done with your starter. So he waits and waits until you're ready. And if you never finish that starter, he'll never bring you that delightful main course. The universe behaves in the same way as the waiter. It knows you have an even better project or experience waiting round the corner to create, but he doesn't want to rush you. And it knows you need to finish this one before you can start the next one. This is partly because by finishing this one, you become the next stage of you, that next version of you that has that experience of doing that thing. You're not the same person today as you were this time last year. You've had experiences and situations, thoughts and feelings that have moved you forward. So the longer you hold on to this project, the longer the universe will wait till it delivers the next one. We place a lot of emphasis on a single outcome, that thing that we make. But what if the true win of creating that garment and applying that skill is actually in who we become once we've given it a go? This applies to projects, but it also applies to beliefs. So do you have projects that you're holding on to that are stopping you from moving forward? Do you have past experiences that you're holding on to that are stopping you from trying new things? What would you do differently if you were able to let those go? What could you move on to? Or how much more enjoyment could you get from practicing and improving? So you might be thinking, well, that's all very well, but where do I even begin? Well, this wouldn't be a very good podcast episode if I didn't challenge you to take some action and put into practice what we've been talking about. See what I did there? So here are my top 10 tips to get you started. And I've put these into a workbook so that you can download them from a link in the show notes and use them yourself to stimulate your conversation that's going on in your head and to do some planning. So the first on the list is to acknowledge what's on your list. You might have lots of unfinished stuff whirring around in your head, so the first step is to write that down. This could include some of the recent courses you've done, videos you've watched, things you've learned that you now want to apply. It could include sewing or other projects that you've got on the go, or things you've been procrastinating or faffing about. Step two is to be clear on why it's on your list. So just write a little bit about why you want to do this thing, why that's important to you. This step might help you decide to remove some of the things from your list because they're just not important right now. And it doesn't mean that this list is finite, you can evolve it and it can be a work in progress, but this is your starting point. So try and understand the things on your list, which ones are going to give you the most joy, the most satisfaction, by taking action now. So step three is pick one and commit to doing it. Now pick one. Yeah, that's right, just one. Narrow it down. Using your whys should help you prioritise, but if it doesn't, then you may have to go back and dig a little deeper in step two. And now is the step where you commit to taking action. So the next step involves how you'll be able to tell if you're truly committed. So step four is define the rules of engagement. So for example, if you're trying to develop or apply a new skill, then commit to applying it at least 5 times before you call it quits. This also means giving yourself permission for the first 4 at least to be rubbish. The trick here is not to focus so much on the outcome, i.e. what it is that you're going to make or what it is that you're going to do, but more on the fact that you went through the actions of doing it and making it, and that's the success part. If it's a project, define what the next barrier is to completing it and commit to taking action to resolve that or the next few steps. So then step 5 is to take the first action. Now that might sound really simple, but this is the one that's going to give you the biggest insights. So coupled with this is step 6, which is to pay attention to your inner voice. So let's say you go through steps 1 to 4, and then you're going to take action, but you don't actually do it. This is where the best bit comes. This is where you'll unlock the door to understanding and changing your thinking. Get quiet and get curious. That might take the form of saying something to yourself like, that's interesting. What happened there? Getting curious is the key because it stops you getting critical. Getting critical goes more like, see, I knew you wouldn't do it, you never do it, you're no good, etc., etc. Getting curious with open questions allows your brain to give you more clues. So the response that comes back might be something like, well, the last time I tried it, I was no good at it. What if that happens again? Now you're into a dialogue, then you could ask yourself, okay, so what would I need to do to be able to be comfortable giving it another go? And you'll be surprised at the answers that your brain comes up with. This way, you can start to get to understand your inner dialogue without slipping into being defensive. So give that a go. Pay attention. And you might need to do that even before step 1. So step 7 is to create accountability. Once you share with someone else that you plan to do something, I think it makes it more real. So try sharing your goal or your ideas or your next steps with someone else. If you don't have someone close to you, then by all means, share it with me. I'd love to know. And maybe agree with them when you're going to follow up or report back. Step 8 is about creating visibility for yourself. So maybe put it on a post-it note and stick it somewhere where you're going to see it regularly. Having that reminder will keep it in the front of your mind and you'll know what step you need to take. And just keep updating that as you keep making progress. Step 9 is about building consistency. Sometimes I think we feel like we've got to do the whole thing or have the whole plan. But really, you just need to know what the next action is that you're going to do and when you're going to do it. Try and do small actions towards it each day or at least once a week. Maybe that forms part of your rules of engagement. Decide what you'll commit to and follow through. And if you don't follow through, then go back to step 6 and pay attention to your inner voice. What is it telling you? What's getting in the way? Why aren't you doing it? And step 10 is to celebrate discomfort. Learning something new feels uncomfortable because it demands something new from us. Many of us, me included, make the mistake that discomfort is the sign to stop. But if you can see it as a sign that you're making progress and celebrate it, then it'll make you more likely to be able to get comfortable with taking action. And I spotted this recently at the gym. I was trying to do something new and I realized I was finding it really hard. I'm trying to hit a goal to do 10 minutes on this kind of stair machine thing that I really don't like. And I was really struggling with doing that and it was really uncomfortable. And then when I heard this as I was listening to something else and thought, actually, that discomfort is showing me I am making progress. It is uncomfortable. And I'm just going to celebrate that and embrace it. And now I've actually got to my 10 minutes on there. And I'm really pleased that I've now got that new mindset about it. So will you do it? Will you pick one thing to try this out on? If you do, then I'd love to hear how it goes and what you discover from trying it out. So DM me or message me via the website. All the details will be at the end of the show. Remember, you are amazing. That feeling of fear you might experience is your ego trying to protect you, but it's holding you back from something fabulous, some new experiences and growth that are just out there waiting for you. So the choice is yours, but more often than not, taking the action is way less scary than you imagine. It's definitely worth giving it a try to see what the universe has waiting around the corner for you. So that's all I have for you for this week. And I really do hope that you download the workbook or make some notes from this episode and give it a go. So until we chat next time, happy action taking. Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Check out the show notes in the description area of your podcast app and click to follow or subscribe. Or head over to sewmindful.com/podcast, which is sewmindful.com. where you can also sign up for an email reminder so that you don't miss out on any juicy episodes. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, then please help others find us by leaving a review if you love this episode. And I'm always excited to find out what you got from the episode and how you plan to use the tips. And finally, if you have a question, feedback, or a topic you'd like me to investigate, then you can also email me at hello@somuchmorefun.co.uk. So until next time, stay gorgeous and have so much more fun.